board for 2 terms. I have an educational background, being a teacher and now a board member, and I have ethical standards which will help keep those decisions focused and make all decisions on the premise of committed to students.
All right. Thank you all so much. Just to review with our listeners, this has been the forum for KUSD school board candidates for the general election, which is Tuesday, April 7th. And you will get to vote for 3 of these 4 folks. There is another name on the ballot, Mr. Carl Bryan, who is no longer eligible because he's going to be moving out of the district. So choose 3 out of 4, either Tamara Coleman, Mary Snyder, Mike Falkowski, and Tony Garcia. Thank you all so much for coming and participating in this forum.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and today we're going to hear from the candidates for Racine Mayor. That election is going to be coming up on April 7th. And so our guests today are Mayor John Dickert, who's a 2-term incumbent seeking his 3rd term, and his challenger, the Reverend Melvin Hargrove. And joining me in posing the questions today are 2 colleagues from the Racine County Eye, Heather Ancianbi and Denise Lockwood. Good morning, ladies, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having
us. And candidates, thank you for joining us this morning. This will be a conversational format. We're going to have some questions. We'll ask candidates for answers. We'll follow up with more questions. But we will ask each candidate to make an opening comment of 1 minute and to make a closing comment of 1 minute in length. And so we're going to do that right now. And I'm going to ask Mayor Dickert to make the opening comment and start. And when we close, it'll be Reverend Hargrove who will start with the first closing statement. Mayor Dickert.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks for listening. You know, I think it's a very interesting time right now. We in Racine have had a lot of great things going on, but we have a lot of work to do yet. You know, about 6 years ago, when we started this whole trend, we had a 16 to 17% unemployment rate. Crime was at an all-time high, and we really had no development or new business going on. So we sat back and developed a plan for it. And that plan was to create a 10-year plan to take us to one of the top cities in America. Since then, crime is down to a 50-year low. Unemployment rate is down to about 8%, and we just announced one of the largest redevelopments in the city's history. Now, that's all good for now, but it's not good enough. We've got a long way to go. We have a lot of work to do, and we're going to talk about some of the great things that have been announced in the last couple of weeks, showing that Racine is really making some substantial gains, not only in the city, but in the country. So we're going to keep talking about that and keep working on it because there is more work to be done, and until everybody's happy, I won't be happy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Dickert. And now I'm going to call on your challenger, Pastor Melvin Hargrove.
Thank you also for allowing us to be here to share with you on today. My name is Melvin Hargrove. I am a lifelong resident of Racine. I have been married for the last 27, going on 28 years to my wife, Marie. And I'm running also because I think there's still yet some things that need to be done and taken care of fiscally. I believe we have to get our fiscal house in order as well. I appreciate all that has been done, but I believe there's much more that needs to be done when it comes to our debt, which is at it's doubled in the last 4 years. We have to deal with our debt. We have to deal with the unfunded healthcare expenses that continue to rise at a very high rate. We have to deal with these issues. We're talking about getting our house in order so that we can be more attractive to those individuals and those cities. To those companies that would like to come to Racine. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Hargrove. Well, from our first question this morning, I and my colleagues from the Racine County Eye, Heather Ancianbi and Denise Lockwood, thought. We would like to know, and we think our listeners would like to know, what's the distinguishing difference between you two candidates? I mean, how do we know that you both want Racine to improve? You both want some of the basically same things for the future of Racine. What's the distinguishing difference between the two of you that voters should know about? 1 or 2 differences, maybe? I'm going to ask you to begin, Pastor Hargrove.
What I would say maybe the distinguishing marks between the mayor and I. One, I would say that for me, I tend to be very candid when it comes to issues, and not how I want to put it. I don't put it in a negative sense. I tend to be very candid to say what I believe is really happening. And I believe it was shared that I was talking about doom and gloom at the last forum that we had. It really wasn't about doom and gloom. It was about trying to be very candid to the people of Racine and say, these are the issues that we're facing as a city. And the issue that we face as a city, we have to really look at these issues. And we can't paint just a rosy picture when we know that there are some issues or things that we need to be dealing with as a city. So I believe I tend to be very candid, and sometimes maybe too much. And I was told to sometimes maybe too forward or too candid at times. I believe also that I really believe in a strong collaborative effort when it comes to the citizens, when it comes to also the municipalities, when it comes, I believe that we can't make it in the city of Racine without strong partnerships and collaborations that are actually working in Racine. And we have to really deal with our partners, which is Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, Sturtevant, and the others. So I believe that collaboration and being very candid is some areas that I would tend to be a little different from.
When you talk about collaboration, one of the questions we wanted to ask you this morning was about intergovernmental cooperation, mm-hmm. and where you see additional opportunities. So can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I see additional opportunities when it comes to that. For instance, we were talking about, I know we did like the joint dispatch some mm-hmm. years ago. I think that's a great example of the intergovernmental collaboration. I believe that when you look at some of the other areas we need to look at, when I say that all things must be on the table when it comes to how we need to really right size our government and right size what we're doing in Racine, being able to use some of those examples in the joint dispatch and maybe doing some other things, maybe fire, maybe police, maybe department, maybe public works. In that sense, but also the collaboration with just being able to make sure we have good, honest, and genuine relationships with our partners, because at the end of the day, Racine City is already landlocked. We have to have those partnerships, and we have to have those relationships where we can actually be able to try to move forward as a city.
Mayor Dickert, what's the distinguishing difference between you two candidates? What's a voter to really bear in mind?
Well, I think it comes down to experience. My job deals with very complex issues. They're issues that come up every single day, so you're making tough decisions every single day. And my experience at the local, state, and federal level, as well as the private sector, has allowed me to make the gains that we've made. I think it's you have to celebrate your wins, though. You know, Racine is really tough on itself. We strive for a lot of greatness. And we're really tough on ourselves that way. So we don't take a lot of credit for the things that we've done. In the last 4 or 5 years, we've probably done more partnerships than ever before. We have built a great community. We have built a lot of businesses. And we've done that because we work together on it. And I don't think that you can start as mayor by dividing people. I think you got to bring people together. And that's how we've been successful. The one thing that hasn't been talked about is the difficulties that we've been facing. Our difficulties were the state has simply said, you will not get any more money forever. And then on top of that, we're going to cut back the money that you have on a yearly basis. Well, so what we have done was, instead of complaining about it, we simply brought our teams together. We found our ways of creating partnerships between the public and private sector. But then internally, we've brought together our departments to solve some of those problems. When you have a $2 million cut in 1 year, for instance, which we've been facing for the last couple, 3-4 years, you have to deal with it. So what we did was we brought people together to find out what services we had to work with and cuts. So what I find is that we've not only right-sized our government, we've created more efficiencies within City Hall than have ever been created, because candidly, we had to. So our people are cross-trained. They do an amazing job. Our police department is doing an amazing job with less. So is our fire department. And that's why it's relative to say that all of this effort, even through all these cuts, we've still seen a 50-year low in crime, but we're dealing with things that we never expected to deal with in the past, but we're dealing with them. And I think that's the key. My job is to solve the problems, to use all my expertise at the local, state, and federal level to solve the problems. But then on top of that, the last component is really to go out to the federal and state levels after the grants and the opportunities in partnerships to bring in additional money that simply the city doesn't have. And we just saw that this last week, where, again, we brought in a $200,000 grant from the EPA to work to help to redevelop our RouteWorks project because of the fact that we brought in EPA 3 years ago to see the whole project. We were able to educate them on what was happening so that they could then see where we were going in the future, so these grants then become easier. And that's all about the relationships and the partnerships that you build over 10, 20, 30 years.
Heather, do you have another follow-up question on this one?
No, I'm good.
All right. Gentlemen, Racine is really having still an unemployment issue. Things are better than they were at the depth of the Great Recession, and I hope I don't see another one of those in my lifetime. But still, Racine is among the highest in the state in terms of unemployment. What are your thoughts about eliminating more of the unemployment in Racine and getting to full employment and those who are statistically uncounted but still hurting? Mayor Dickert?
Yeah, well, let me tell you what we're doing. Because one of the challenges that we have when I talk to the business community, and I've toured 73 companies in the city of Racine to find out what they're thinking, is what we're doing is we're finding that there is a gap in skilled workforce. So you have, as we bring in these companies, and we bring in the Racine First program, which is a program that I created, that if we incentivize a company to grow, then that idea is they don't get those funds unless they hire people from Racine. So that is one of the ways that we make sure that companies are hiring from the city of Racine. The second thing that we do is we have worked with new developers that are coming in and new companies that are working in so that they actually, where they locate, they hire people from that specific neighborhood. Now, that's a challenge. And the challenge is we have unskilled workers there that have not only a lack of education but a lack of social skills, which they need to come in and stay into a job. So what we've done is we have coordinated our efforts between Gateway, ourselves. We'll be working with the Racine County Workforce Development Center and our pastoral community and our neighborhood community to work these people into jobs slowly, giving them the skills they need and the training that they need. That's how you solve that last piece of the puzzle, because as we keep bringing in companies, and so far we've brought in 18 new companies into the city of Racine or helped 18 expand. As you do that, you have to have the workforce ready. So what we've done already is worked per neighborhood and started to redevelop these areas with the neighborhoods and the employees, because if we can get to that level of unskilled employees and workers actually getting into jobs that are sustainable, then we will actually break that cycle of that 4, 5, 6% unemployment that we never get below.
Pastor Hargrove, what's your answer to the lingering unemployment in Racine? And I might note that you have more than a little experience with the educational system in Racine. You've been on the school board for some time. I don't really know how many years offhand.
Seven, yeah.
Seven?
Mm-hmm.
How do we solve unemployment in Racine to do an even better job?
I think you look at education, you look at geography, and you also look at small businesses. I say education. I recently completed a site visit to Nashville, and with about 40 other members of the community, from the business to the education community to just community leaders. And in Nashville, what they're doing is they're actually Nashville has been touted for this. It's called a careers path. Or careers pathways to education. Basically, in a nutshell, what it means is that in the ninth grade, they start trying to focus them on certain careers that they may want to follow when they go to school. And so we went down for a site visit because we believe that concept is a great concept, because we have to have a better skilled workforce, no doubt. And we have to look at how do we make that better, even from the school standpoint, which I believe that's been happening as a school board member. I think, you know, I'm grateful about the decision that we made to bring Dr. Halls on board with that vision to make that happen. And the reason why, and even thankful to the community for even passing the referendum to even make things better in the schools. The reason why that's important is because with the way that they're set up in Nashville, they're set up so that in the ninth grade, you go through this orientation and you get your mind set on the fact that whatever I want to do, I'll be able to go through a path of curriculum and of study to be able to come out job ready, or career ready, college ready, or even military ready in my case, which I did, you know. And so I believe that has to happen. There has to be a focus on how do we prepare our children to go as they go through school for that. Then I say geography because we are landlocked. We're a landlocked city. And so my question has been, you know, has there been any other attempts made to see how can we bring the jobs to the city, or if we can't bring the jobs to the city just yet, how can we then take the individuals to those jobs once they're prepared, you know, for those jobs? But at some point, we have to see, we have to figure out how do we get past the hurdle of being landlocked.
Any follow-up?
I do. I actually...
Go ahead. Denise?
What I wanted to understand a little bit is as far as with the pressure that that the city is having right now with the revenue on the revenue side, oftentimes cities respond by cutting workforce on police and fire and highway, and that's just a natural progression of what happens because those tend to be a little bit more higher dollar ticket items. So how do you kind of, given the revenue pressure, acknowledge and understand some of these issues, these really complicated issues like heroin and homelessness and things along that line? So how do we kind of accomplish some of those, tackle some of those issues?
I'd like Mayor Dickert to try that first, then we'll go back to the Pastor Hargrove, please.
Sure. This is what we've been dealing with for the last 6 years, is the constant cuts. So what you have to do is, first of all, you have to admit to the problem and deal with the problem up front. So what I do is I bring my team together. I sit down with the police department. I sit down with the health department. I sit down with the organizations, the community of care. And we say, first of all, let's address what is the key problem. And then we talk to our organizations around town through United Way. We talk to our organizations and our funders that help out the private sector. And we determine how we're going to set up a game plan to deal with it long term. So it might not only just be the police. It may be HALO, it may be community of care, it may be a bunch of different groups that then have to solve that problem. So what we do is we organize around the problem and the long-term solution, because these problems come up every day. You know, we just saw the community health care center just went, belly up, and that's an issue that you have to deal with immediately. So what we do is we bring the partners together, look at the long-term solution, and then put it in play. Now, what most of the people here know is that long-term solution is not likely going to be funded by the city. And the reason why is there's no revenue to do that. So we find out who can work, who can work together to get that done. If we need additional help in some of those areas, we may go out and ask the private sector to come in and help. Or we just find out who's there that can work with us. The community centers were a perfect example. As the funds get cut from the state level, we have less and less funds for the community center. We brought 15 different organizations together to say, how can we all work together in the community centers to provide better services at actually less cost to the city? And I think that's how you solve problems. You build the partnerships, you bring people together, and then you solve the problem by everybody working on it together. If there's one great thing that this city has, it's a community spirit. And when we have trouble, I have never seen a city that's better at getting together to solve the problem than we are. And I think that's been shown over the last 6 years. I think even with all those cuts, you've still seen a reduction in crime. You've still seen.
But on the other hand, if the manpower isn't there to really address the crime, then that statistically it may not bear out that you're actually addressing the crime issues.
But the question is, what are the actual issues? When you're dealing with crime issues, it's not always just the crime. Do we have the RVM that is helping people after they commit a crime to help them not go back into?
And what is RVM?
Received Vocational Ministries. Mm-hmm. When they started, they were a smaller program. We took them to a higher level at the national level, and now they were funded at over $250,000. Why? Because we were able to show the nation their success. So it's adding partners like that into the mix and then boosting them up that allows you to do more with less. When you look at crime, oftentimes it deals with the housing situation. One of the reasons that we've been pushing so hard on housing is because those two are very relevant. You know, we went from 20 to 415 foreclosures per year. That's a dramatic impact on a city.
Let me interrupt for just a moment for our late tuning in listeners. This is Community Matters with our candidates for mayor of Racine, Mayor John Dickert seeking his third term, and challenger Reverend Melvin Hargrove. And we're in the middle of talking about some details, and I'm going to have Denise continue the questioning, and we're going to give Pastor Hargrove a chance for a detailed response in just a moment.
Mayor, help me walk me through a little bit more about how you're addressing some of the issues with regards to heroin and a lot of mental health issues, because there's been a lack of resources for quite some time. I've been writing these stories for years about mental health and homelessness and things along that line, but it's really never just about homelessness. It's a fundamental education problem. It's many things that go along into that box of homelessness. So help me understand that a little bit more.
Well, with regard to mental health, one of the things that we saw in one of the centers that was being an overnight shelter for some folks was that the real issue after we sat down, like I said before, we sat down with our continuum of care group and said, what are the real issues here? The real issues were mental health. There was a gap in mental health assistance. So one of our folks went out and raised $40,000 to help that solve that problem. We also brought in the other team members from the other organizations to determine, are there any other gaps that we need to fill? One of the things that people don't realize about Racine is when you compare Racine to any other community around us, we are better at dealing with homelessness and these issues than any other city around us. When it comes to sex trafficking, which is an issue I would have never expected to be dealing with as a mayor 4 years ago, we are one of the best in the state, and we're being recognized for that, dealing with sex trafficking. And to Pastor's point earlier, we need our neighbors, we need our neighbor communities to work with us on this as well, because it may get out of the city, but if it's still in the area, it's still a concern, and we need them to work together. So what we're doing is we're really dealing with these issues one at a time, getting to them, and then bringing in the resources to solve them.
Pastor Hargrove?
Okay.
Get in here.
That's okay. I'm going to actually need you to restate the question one more time so I make sure that
You want me to remember what I actually said?
I know it was about the – because I was trying to write it down.
About how to balance
the revenue. The obviously, you've got a lot of pressure with regards to shared revenue from the state.
Right.
And so you've got these big issues, and you've got less manpower to do it.
Okay.
So how do you tackle some of the bigger issues like heroin and homelessness and mental health shortage, things along that line?
Good question. It goes back to I always go back to this statement from the 90s, and it was that the city of Racine will seek to enhance the quality of life for all its citizens. And those are all quality of life issues. I say that to start out because when you look at that, the whole issue, and I agree with the mayor, that Racine is a very unique community. And I've seen it, even sitting on the school board when the fire happened at Mitchell School, and how we were able to, and not just we, but really it was the administration, was able to galvanize the community to be able to help the students, help the families. And all that was of no cost. And just because they saw a need and they met the need, they rallied around it. So, yeah, we have a great community when it comes to that point. But when you start talking about the city government, when you start talking about the cuts in that area, one thing we have to look at, we do have an amazing police department in this sense here. And then we're talking about cutting crime. And in the sense where they've been able to build relationships, as a police and fire commission, I strongly support the current chief. Even as I know you may have well known that the issue that was happening even during the process of trying to hire him, and I kind of stood up and shared my conviction about the process. He was hired. And I believe it was a great hire because he was able to continue the policing philosophy of the community policing, which didn't bring, it wasn't more money that was involved with it. It was being able to take, police officers with the mindset of understanding what the community need, how to police the community, how to relate to the community, as well as the cop houses as well. The other thing that happened is they had what you call an intelligence-led policing as well, and basically to bring in the information to be able to narrow the scope on whoever it is that they're looking for lack of better words, I don't know all the technical jargon, and whoever they're looking for, and be able to make sure that they're narrowing in on that those type of suspects. For instance, they the one burglary that the amount of burglaries that happened over the last this past few months, they found the one guy who was actually responsible for 11 of those burglaries because it was intelligence-led policing. So I said all to say this, that there are already things in place that's not costing the city any more money at this point to be able to continue the whole issue of the crime reduction. And the mayor's right, we are at a 50-year low of crime in the city based on, I believe, the community, based on the leadership of the police department as well. Now, going back to the other issue, I sat on the NAMI board quite a few years ago.
Tell us what that is.
The NAMI is the National Alliance of Mental Health Institution. And so thank you. I have to understand. I was able to have a whole nother level of education when it came to mental health issues, mm-hmm. and understanding that even the drug issues lead to mental health issues and vice versa. And NAMI has done some great work as well. So, again, it's about partnerships. And I think whoever have heard me talk over the last 3 or 4 months, I always go back to the concept of partnerships. Here's why. Because there's some things that we can do that may not cost money. It just may cost the ability to have good, strong relationships and partnerships with the various organizations that are in the city right now, the nonprofit organizations as well as the faith organizations. I know that, you know, our church and other churches, they deal with mental health issues. They deal with drug addiction issues. They deal with the issue of heroin that's in the city at this point as well. So there are various ways that we can still deal with this without having to ask the taxpayers to pay more money or cut services. It goes back again to the partnerships that we have to look at. And it goes back to that when I said earlier, we want to make race seem better for what all citizens. So that means with that attitude of we want to be better and we want to see you better, that's the attitude that I see in the community even now.
But are there any new initiatives that you would bring to the table if you were elected?
Are there any new initiatives I would bring to the table if I was a I don't know if there are any new initiatives I would bring to the table. I would bring to the table more of a passion to galvanize more of the citizens, galvanize more of the organizations, galvanize more of the businesses to say, hey, this is our city. How can we make our city attractive again to those who may want to come here, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
I wonder if we could talk a bit about commuter rail. It's been a long time since we've talked about commuter rail on this program. What's the future of commuter rail with respect to Racine? How important is commuter rail going to be to the future of Racine? Briefly, Mayor Dickert, do you see any future for worrying about it at this point? And what would you like to see?
Well, it's not only a future; it has to happen. In essence, I've been working on commuter rail since I started as mayor because it's a much more difficult issue than most people can imagine. First, we started with the RTA debate all the way running up to Milwaukee. That hit the legislative issue in Madison, and it just kind of blew up. So what we're looking at now is just simply bringing the commuter rail up from Kenosha to Racine. I can't worry about the folks to the north right now because that's a much bigger issue, and there's really no support for it. So what I've done is gone down to Chicago to meet with the Metro Group to find out what it would take. They've told me. I've got the support of Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County executive down there. And so what we're looking at is a $30,000 study that would tell us what the total cost of the commuter rail would be to run it from Kenosha to Racine Station. The estimated value of that change to get that station into State Street is about $20 to $30 million in additional development, but more importantly, it helps rebuild the neighborhood. And like I talked to you about before, as we're bringing in these developments, we're bringing in specific neighborhoods. Now, we have gone to Pastor Hargrove's ideas earlier. We had gone to our surrounding areas to ask for assistance on that, and we were turned down, not once, not twice, but three times. So we reach out on a regular basis to those communities around us to try to create those partnerships to make a better future for our community, and we were turned down. So we're just going to have to look at doing that ourselves.
What about the commuter rail for Racine? How do you feel? What do we need?
We need a commuter rail for Racine. And I say that seriously. I was just recently, when I was preparing to share on today, I was trying to go back and look at some numbers in Racine. And right now, I believe over 50% of our residents in the county of Racine actually work outside of Racine County. And so I believe it's very important to bring the commuter rail to Racine. I'm not familiar with all of the intricacies of what has happened up until this point. I do understand that not only do we need to look at our neighbors to the south, but I disagree a little bit with the mayor, where I think we need to also look at our neighbors to the north as well. Because at this point, we have commuter coming in, we have the Amtrak coming in, we have Metro coming in from the south, but we really have nothing coming in from the north via Milwaukee and some of the other areas, some of the other outlying areas as well. And so I believe that the commuter rail is important because, again, going back to what I said before, that we have to, if we can't bring the jobs in here, we have to get our people to the jobs as well. But I believe, though, once we have the commuter rail, and, again, looking at highway access, is there a way that we can have even better highway access or a quicker highway access that could bring those jobs as well? So it's just not commuter rail, I don't believe. It is also about how do we get better highway access to bring the jobs back into the city as well.
Heather Asiambi?
I have a follow-up question for the mayor regarding public transportation. I can't name the study specifically, but I was doing some reading about how many people don't have access to a car. Mm-hmm. And I know that the number in the city of Racine is like 1 in 7 adults doesn't have an automobile. But more to the point, a growing number of young people between the ages of 18 and 30, they don't want a car. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the financial cost. They're looking to move to places that have comprehensive public transportation to move them from where they live to where they work. Whether or not they live in Racine or they come in to work in Racine, we have the jobs here to support young, vibrant professionals. What's our answer for that?
Well, our answer is to do what I'm doing right now, which is work with the Tri-State Alliance, which is a group of folks from Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin who are trying to show all three states that if we build a regional, and this is to Melvin's point, if we build a regional transportation system, which includes all forms of transportation, that connects everyone synergistically, it's actually cheaper than the system we're running today. It allows for more movement on job growth up and down the entire region, and it allows for billions of dollars in new development, which is new jobs. But to get all of the politicians on board with that is probably the biggest challenge we have. The numbers are there. The finances are there. It's so crystal clear, it's hard to imagine people not doing it. But you have the border war issues, and then you have the partisan issues. So we're trying to show people that that's there. That's a bigger challenge, and we're going to continue to move on it. But you're right. 16% of the young people nowadays don't even want a car. 23% mm-hmm. of them aren't even getting a license.
So Mr. Hargrove, what's your response?
My response is I've never heard of that study before, and that's interesting to know that high percentage mm-hmm. of people don't want a car. But again, it goes back to let's go even from not just the regional piece, but let's just go within the city itself. Mm-hmm. And when you look at even with the bus system right now we have, are there ways that we can actually decrease? If, for instance, do we need a 25 or 30 passengers? Do we need those big buses right now running through the cities, or can we downsize and then be able to economize and still be able to have those buses on track to get them where they want to go? To your point, Heather, then that way, what happens within the city, you're actually saving money, but then you're actually having a ridership that can actually use the buses to get back and forth to work as well. I don't know. It's just I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that we need to look for an answer.
Well, part of the issue with public transportation, and Denise and I know this from covering the villages of mm-hmm. Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, and Sturtevant for so many years, is that residents there don't feel that they're getting a value for the bus because they don't see a lot of their residents riding the bus. So how do you, and I also feel like there's an inherent distrust between the villages and the city. So how do you overcome those issues? How do you convince people that, it's kind of I guess when the tide rises, all the boats float mm-hmm. kind of philosophy. Mm-hmm. How do you convince people of that and then strengthen the relationship so that distrust kind of disappears so we're all buying in together?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of distrust. I think it's a matter of dealing with the facts. And the facts are simple. You can't buy two different types of buses because the most expensive thing that you have is the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a grant recently from Senator Herb Kohl before he left that paid for 13 new energy-efficient buses. You have buses for the full day. So when the ridership is full, the bus is full, and sometimes the ridership isn't full. But if you were to interchange buses, you would actually be doubling the cost of buses. That's why we don't do it and why we don't have small buses. But for the outside areas, let me give you an example. In Sturtevant, when they put in the UNFI building out there, there was an agreement with Sturtevant to provide bus service to that facility because there were going to be 300 employees there. So when we said to the Sturtevant village, okay, you need to pay the extension of our buses because we pay for the buses to UNFI, they rejected that and said they weren't going to do it. But yet it was part of the contract to draw the company in. So all we asked for was that small change to pay for that extension, and they refused to. Here's the difficulty that we're dealing with in buses. When the governor cuts out $1 from the bus, the transit aids that we get, we lose $5. It's $1 from them, it's $1 from the Fed, or $3 from the Fed, and $1 from us. So every time the governor makes a cut of $200,000, I lose $1 million. So what we're trying to do is to say to those communities around us, let's all play together in the sandbox, because if we
Pastor Hargrove, how would you address this issue? I mean, one of the things that Heather and I oftentimes hear is, why should we pay for this? I mean, if most of the people that are riding the buses are from the city of Racine, or not as many have cars in the city of Racine, why should Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, why should those communities pay for that?
Okay, yep. Real quick, I'll get that, but I don't want to actually go back and just share something. When I mentioned the buses, I meant the initial cost of those buses. I meant that we actually changed those buses out as opposed to having the big buses. You may be able to get smaller, more economic buses with the initial cost. And so I just want to make sure that we understood that. I wasn't talking about adding more buses to it. It was actually changing them all out with the initial cost. Now, to your point, I love history. And one of my favorite movies is a movie. It's actually a documentary. And it's about John Adams. It was an HBO movie about John Adams. In that movie, they were getting ready to sign the Declaration of Independence. But before they signed it, what happened is the King of England came back with a response to their, you know, to the initial letter asking about trying to be able to, you know, make things work. And the King said this. He said that at the end of the day, you know, they will be treated as traitors, and they'll hang, all of them hang. So Benjamin Franklin said this. He says, well, we can either all hang together, or we're all going to hang separately. And what he was saying is that we can all stick together, build a nation, or we're going to hang separately as traitors. But either way, he says, we can either hang together or we can hang separately. I say to say this, that for our municipality, we have to understand that if we don't all hang together, that Caledonia is going to suffer if Racine goes down. Sturtevant is going to suffer if Racine City goes down. Mount Pleasant is going to suffer if Racine City goes down. Racine City will suffer if Caledonia goes down. And so we have to understand that at some point, there's got to be some conversation, some hard conversations with the municipalities to help them understand that we really are all in this together. And now, I know that sounds very simplistic. I know it sounds very subjective. But at the end of the day, there has to be a vision that says that we are all in this together, and that there are ways that Caledonia can benefit from Racine City, you know, coming up, or Racine City being able to have what it needs, as well as Caledonia having what it needs.
Thank you.
Really comes down to the conversation.
I'd like to do a lightning round of just maybe a couple of quick questions and a couple of quick answers that are of interesting topics to our listeners. Do we still need the city administrator position? Quick answer, Mayor Dickert. Should we cut it because of the budget issues?
No, because him doing his job has allowed me to go out and bring in tens of millions of dollars in additional grants and funding.
Pastor Hargrove, would you keep the city administrator position?
I wouldn't know until I actually was in the position to see what the budget actually said with the auditors.
Mayor Dickert, do you have a plan that will cut the city's debt service in the next term?
It's actually in this term. Mm-hmm. We did it a couple of years ago. One of the projects that we did cut over $50 million, and we squared up all the tax incremental financing districts that were kind of underwater, and all those are cleaned up as well. So, yeah, actually our budget is not only good, but our deficit is declining.
Pastor Hargrove?
Unfortunately, that's a weakness for me because I don't have – I shouldn't say weakness, but that's an obstacle for me because I don't have the budget at hand. I don't have the opportunity to look at the budget, but I do know that the debt service does need to be cut and has been doubled in the last 4 years.
What's the future of Bell TV, Car 25? People are complaining a lot about it, Mayor Dickert.
Well, simply it was a budget cut that the council agreed to that we just don't have the money for anymore. We run it internally through MIS, so it's still there. It's still running. It's still doing what it was initially there to do. But unfortunately, when the state continues to cut back our funds, we have to make cuts, and they got to be with priorities.
Pastor Hargrove, what would you do about Bell TV, Car 25?
What I would do about Bell TV Car 25 is I would try to make Bell TV Car 25 work more for the population in the city and not just for maybe certain people in the city.
All right. I think it's getting close to the time for us to ask for a closing statement from each of the candidates. We began the opening statements with Mayor Dickert, so we're going to ask Pastor Melvin Hargrove, candidate for mayor of Racine, on April 7th, Election Day, to make his one-minute closing statement. Pastor Hargrove.
And I only get 1 minute. Okay. Again, I want to thank you, first of all, for having us here to share with you on today. For me, I just want to make sure people understand that if you know, as you vote for me for mayor, what you're voting for is someone that's going to really try to right-size the budget in this city. You're voting someone that's going to try to pull our fiscal house back in order. I still believe that our house is not in order when it comes to our fiscal responsibility. When you vote for me, you're going to vote for someone who's going to make sure that I try to bring everybody to the table when it comes to our municipalities, as we discussed earlier, but also when it comes to our businesses. You vote for me, you're going to vote for someone also who really wants to try to, in right-sizing the budget, try to make sure that we can streamline procedures and processes that will also help to grow our small businesses and actually help create more small businesses here in Racine.
Thank you, Pastor Hargrove. And I'm going to ask now that Mayor Dickert make his closing statement for us this morning. Mayor Dickert?
No, thank you very much. And yes, our fiscal house is in order. And actually, if you look at our long-term debt, it actually gets smaller and smaller over every year. That page isn't actually the back of the budget. And I'd welcome anybody to see it. And I just want to clear up one thing. There are no unfunded health care costs in the city budget. Everything, our city, and as a mayor, you have to balance your budget every year. There are no unfunded mandate or health care costs because the health care costs are rising, but we do have to take care of them. What I think is important is that I've been blessed with a lot of experience. We've seen some dramatic changes in Racine. I think we're moving in the right direction. There's a lot of new energy between developers, investors, and our community. But people are still struggling. And as long as everybody is looking for a job or anyone is looking for a job, my job is to keep working to build the partnerships to bring everybody together to make sure that they have that opportunity. That's what we're going to continue to do. That's what we have been doing. And I feel blessed to have the opportunity to be here. And I want to thank all of you for the time today.
Thank you, Mayor Dickert. And I want to thank my co-questioners today, Heather Asianbi and Denise Lockwood from the Racine County Eye. And how can our listeners keep up with your continued reporting on the Racine County Eye? How can they read your stories, ladies?
We're online and on Facebook. Our website is racinecountyeye.com. You can visit us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We welcome everyone to visit, read, and contribute to the conversation.
Denise, can people do a little reporting for you, too, and send you tips?
They do, and you are always welcome to send us tips at the RacineCountyEye@gmail.com.
Okay, why don't you repeat that website for us one more time?
RacineCountyEye.com, and it's I as in E-Y-E.
Okay, that's great. I want to thank Heather and Denise for being with us today, and Mayor John Dickert seeking his third term, and his challenger, Reverend Melvin Hargrove. The election day is April 7th, the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, urging you as always to get informed, get involved, and golly, get out and vote. Good day.
Support for WGTD comes from Carthage College, combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation. More information about undergraduate and adult education opportunities is available online at carthage.edu. Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Bristol's Aquaterra and its popular Arctic Char, available as raw fillets for grilling or as whole smoked fish for an easy appetizer. Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, Saturdays from 9 to 1 in the lobby of the Rhodey.
Support comes from Vero International Cuisine. Don't drink the paint, drink the wine. It's a painting dinner party at Vero in Racine, Wednesday evening, April 29th. Everything will be provided, including the artistic guidance. RSVP by calling 260-8675.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Pedro's Food, freshly prepared Latin American or Mexican specialties such as chicken, cheese, or pork tamales, chicken or cheese, enchiladas, and more. Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, Saturdays from 9 to 1 at the Rhodey. You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.